Welcome back, everyone, to The Deep Dive. This time, we're going deep into Delaware corporate law.
Always a fun place to be.
Oh, yeah. Today's case is Lyondell Chemical Co. v. Ryan. You know, the one that's still making waves. It's got it all. Mega merger, a shareholder who's not playing around, and, of course, a trip to Delaware Supreme Court.
A classic. Can't go wrong with a good Delaware Supreme Court case.
Exactly. So we're going to figure out just how much wiggle room those company directors actually have when they decide to sell a business. Spoiler alert, It might be a bit more than you'd think.
Definitely more than some people are comfortable with.
To break it all down, we've got some great excerpts from legal analyses and a nice, concise case brief.
It should give us a good overview.
Absolutely. So whether you're right in the thick of deal-making yourself or just love a good legal drama, well, this deep dive is for you.
Buckle up, folks. It's a wild ride.
Okay, so first, let's set the scene. The year is 2007. Lyondell Chemical is a big player, a real powerhouse. And then, bam, they're acquired by Basil AF.
Out of the blue.
For a cool $13 billion. And the shareholders, they're pretty happy, right? 45% premium. Who wouldn't be?
Sounds like a pretty sweet deal. But not everyone was popping champagne.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about our disgruntled shareholder. This is where Walter Ryan enters the picture. He's not exactly throwing a party.
Nope, not at all. He files a lawsuit claiming that the board basically steamrolled this entire deal.
Wait, really? How fast are we talking?
7 days.
7 days.
7 days from start to finish.
I take longer than that to pick out a new phone case.
Right. So Ryan's argument was that they didn't even try to get a better price, didn't shop the company around, the whole nine yards. He said they completely failed in their fiduciary duties to get the best possible deal for the shareholders.
Bold move. Did it work?
Well, a lower court actually sided with him initially.
Wow, seriously?
Yeah.
So did Lyondell's board get punished for this super fast sale? What happened next?
That's where things get really interesting. The Delaware Supreme Court steps in and plot twist. They overturn the decision and actually side with Lyondell's board.
Okay, so how do they justify that? 7 days still seems crazy fast.
It all comes down to something called Revlon duties. And that, my friend, is where this case gets its name.
Revlon duties. Sounds intense.
Yeah.
Can you break that down for us? What exactly are we talking about here?
So Revlon duties are these specific obligations that company directors have when a company's about to change hands, like in a sale, merger, that sort of thing. It's all about switching gears from that long-term company growth strategy to making sure the shareholders get the most value right now in this particular deal.
So it's like their fiduciary duty goes into hyperdrive. Does that mean every single time a company is being sold, the board has to have this huge auction or spend months shopping it around?
Not necessarily. Delaware law is a bit more nuanced than that. It's not about just checking boxes. Revlon duties don't require a super rigid process, but they do require what they call a reasonable effort to get a fair price.
Reasonable. It seems like there's a lot of room for interpretation there.
Oh, there definitely is. That's where a lot of the debate comes in. But think of it this way. Would a reasonable person in the same position with the same information and resources have done the same thing? That's the big question.
Okay, so it's not about finding the absolute highest bidder. It's more about making a real effort to get a good deal for the shareholders. Like showing you actually tried.
Precisely. And in the case of Lyondell, the court found that even though they moved fast, what the board did was still considered reasonable. They did consult with financial advisors. They talked it out. They negotiated. And hey, let's not forget, they did get that 45% premium for the shareholders.
True. A 45% premium is nothing to scoff at. But even so, I'm still thinking, wouldn't a market check have helped them see if there was even more money on the table?
That's where it gets even trickier. The court actually said that skipping a full market check, well, it wasn't ideal, but they made a really important distinction.
Oh, what's that?
Delaware law separates making a mistake, like a bad decision, what they call a breach of the duty of care, from acting in what they call bad faith.
So, like, intentionally doing something wrong.
Exactly. Bad faith means you knew you were messing up and just did it anyway. That's a breach of the duty of loyalty, and it's a much bigger deal, much harder to prove.
Much higher stakes, too, I bet.
For sure. So they're basically saying, yeah, Lyondell's board might not have been perfect, but there's no proof that they were deliberately trying to cheat the shareholders. Just moving fast, well, that wasn't enough to prove bad faith on its own.
Interesting. So even if the board didn't get everything exactly right, they weren't automatically in the wrong.
Right. And that's where that exculpatory clause comes in. Remember that term from the case?
Vaguely. Refresh my memory.
So an exculpatory clause is like a shield written into Lyondell's corporate charter that protects the directors from personal liability if they simply mess up, if they make an honest mistake.
So kind of like a get out of jail free card, but only for genuine mistakes.
Yeah.
Not if they were being shady.
You got it. And in the end, the Delaware Supreme Court decided there simply wasn't enough evidence to prove that Landell's board acted with bad intentions.
So it seems like Delaware law really gives those directors a lot of trust. But this case definitely wasn't open and shut. What exactly were the Supreme Court's reasons for changing the lower court's ruling? What made them so sure the board was acting in good faith?
Well, it was a pretty complex decision, and the court definitely didn't take it lightly. They had three main reasons for overturning that lower court's decision. First, they really zeroed in on when those Revlon duties actually start. They made it clear that those extra responsibilities don't just kick in the second a company thinks about selling. It's only after there's a real offer on the table, a sale in motion, that the duties change.
So the board wasn't just ignoring deals left and right or anything earlier on. It was more like a sudden opportunity came up and they had to act fast.
Exactly. And that leads right into their second point. Even in that crazy 7-day whirlwind, the board wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. The court acknowledged that they got advice from financial experts, they hammered out the terms of the deal, and like we said, they did snag a pretty big premium for those shareholders.
So they weren't exactly following a textbook example, but it wasn't a total free-for-all either. They were at least trying to do right by those shareholders. What was the third point the court made?
They highlighted the lack of what they called a smoking gun. Basically, there just wasn't any clear, undeniable proof that the board intentionally ignored their duties. They may have moved fast, but that alone wasn't enough to prove they were acting in bad faith.
It's like the court was saying, look, we get it, this wasn't the most picture-perfect way to sell a company, but we're not seeing any evidence that they're being malicious. They weren't trying to get rich or cheat the shareholders.
That's a great way to sum it up. It's not enough to just say, well, they could have done it better. To win a case like this, you have to show that there was a conscious, deliberate breach of trust, not just that someone might have made different choices.
And with that exculpatory clause protecting the directors from personal liability for those honest mistakes, that's a pretty high bar to clear, right?
Absolutely. But here's where it gets really interesting. Even with those three points in their favor, even the Supreme Court admitted that not doing a full market check, well, it wasn't the smartest move.
Wow. Really? If even the highest court had some reservations, what's the big takeaway here? What does Landell tell us about how these huge M&A deals should be handled?
I think it's a pretty clear signal that Delaware courts, and remember, they handle a huge number of corporate law cases in the U.S. They give company directors a lot of leeway. They're not going to pick apart every little decision as long as there is a reasonable belief that the board was acting in good faith.
Almost like a benefit of the doubt kind of thing. The court is essentially saying, we trust that you, the directors, have the experience and the company's best interests at heart.
Right. And that trust is also backed up by the business judgment rule, which basically assumes that directors are acting in good faith unless someone can prove otherwise. It's a fundamental principle in corporate law.
So if you're a director and you're facing a huge decision, like selling a whole company, what's the key lesson from Landell? What should they be thinking about to protect themselves?
Documentation, documentation, documentation. Make sure you have a super clear record of every single step you take, why you made each decision, the advice you got from experts, everything you did to ensure a fair price. It's all about covering your bases and showing that you were thorough, thoughtful, and doing what you genuinely believed was best for the company and its shareholders.
It's about showing you did your homework, that you didn't just jump at the first offer that came along. Landell isn't just a lesson for those company directors, though, right? There are some things shareholders should keep in mind, too, especially if they feel like they got a bad deal.
Oh, absolutely. Landell is a stark reminder that you can't just go to court and say, hey, they didn't hold an option, so they must have messed up. You need solid evidence of bad faith, of deliberate wrongdoing, to even have a chance.
So it's not enough to say they could have done things differently.
Yeah.
You have to prove that they knew they were doing something wrong and just did it anyway. That they deliberately hurt the shareholders.
Exactly. And that's a really difficult thing to prove. Landell really emphasizes just how important that good faith standard is in corporate law. It's not about being perfect. It's about being honest and reasonable, even when you're dealing with billions of dollars.
It's fascinating how this one case, with that crazy timeline and those huge sums of money, really highlights these big themes of corporate governance and fiduciary duty. But it also brings up some pretty thought-provoking questions, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, Where do we actually draw the line between giving directors the freedom to do their jobs and making sure that the shareholders are protected? And in a world where deals happen so fast, how can we be sure that boards are really acting in good faith, even when they're under so much pressure?
Those are some big questions, and I don't think there are any easy answers.
Yeah, it seems like we're always going to be kind of struggling with that balance, you know, between speed and accountability, especially in the corporate world.
Yeah.
But even without having all the answers, Liandel definitely gives us a framework for thinking about these really complex issues. It's not just about black and white rules, is it?
Not at all. I think Liandel really does highlight that tension you mentioned, that push and pull between letting directors make these tough decisions and protecting the shareholders from being taken advantage of. It's a tough balancing act for the courts.
It really is. So Liandel is almost like a case study in how to walk that line. It shows us that, yeah, the courts are going to give directors some breathing room, but they're not just giving them a blank check. They still have to act reasonably, make a real effort to get a fair price, and if anyone questions their decisions, well, they better be ready to show their work. Right, and it's not just about protecting the shareholders in that one specific deal. It's about keeping the whole system fair and trustworthy. You know, if boards could just go around selling companies on a whim without any process or fairness, it would really damage people's trust in the market.
Yeah, it would set a really bad precedent. And that's where that whole market check thing gets so interesting. Even though the court didn't say that the lack of one was a fatal flaw in Liandel, they definitely made it clear that it wasn't the best move. What do you think that tells boards going forward?
I think it's a pretty strong signal. Like the court's saying, look, you might not be legally required to have an auction every time you sell off a company, but it's probably a smart idea. A market check just helps make sure you're getting a fair price, that you're not missing out on a better deal. And honestly, it helps protect the board too, from accusations that they're playing favorites or trying to benefit themselves.
So it's not just a protection for the shareholders, it protects the directors themselves too.
Exactly. And it just underlines how important transparency and having a good process are for good corporate governance. Those things help build trust, they show good faith, and they can really reduce the risk of ending up in court later on. Nobody wants that.
Well, as we wrap up our deep dive into Liandel, what are the key takeaways for our listeners? Mm-hmm. What should people be thinking about, whether they're dealing with M&A or corporate governance, or even if they just find this whole legal world fascinating?
I think the biggest takeaway is that every situation is different. There's no one right answer when it comes to fiduciary duty. Every deal's got its own quirks, every company's different, and each board's dealing with its own unique circumstances.
But even with all those differences, there are some basic principles that are always going to be important. Like, directors have to act in good faith, they have to really try to fulfill their duties, and they have to be ready to explain their decisions if anyone asks.
And for anyone on the other side, like if you're a shareholder or a potential buyer, it's important to know about these principles too. Understand your rights and don't be afraid to ask tough questions.
Because in the end, I think Liandel reminds us that corporate law isn't just about following a set of rules. It's about finding that balance between different interests, handling tricky situations with integrity and transparency, and making sure the whole system is actually working in a way that's fair and effective.
It's a constant conversation, really. It's always changing and adapting to new challenges. But those core principles, good faith, due diligence, accountability, they're just as important today as they were back in 2007 when all this was going down with Liandel.
Well said. So it looks like we're finally resurfacing from our deep dive into Liandel Chemical Co. v. Ryan. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next time with another fascinating case to unpack, another legal puzzle to solve. Until then, keep those legal minds sharp and keep diving deep.